Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
To Two Girls One Podcast, a weekly audio broadcast funded by the National Endowment for the Arts' head janitor, who kicks in a buck on Patreon and enjoys listening while unclogging government toilets. This week's episode is for adults by adults, featuring some smoking hot adult content about an Australian children's cartoon. You've been warned. And now here are the hosts, who are far more animated than your average Saturday morning special, Allison Goldberg and Lindsay Ford.
Allie! Lindsay!
Hey, I'm Allison, I'm the producer. What the fuck?
2G1P!
Wow, harder than you'd think.
I messed up at the very beginning because I wasn't sure. I couldn't remember if we were saying me first or Lindsay first. And so I said nothing.
It's so funny because I was like, what if someone says the wrong name? And we didn't do it. You were just a little late. It's fine.
No, I wasn't there at all for the first one.
You didn't say anything? You didn't say your own name?
I didn't say anything. I was like, oh no, which one are we doing? I don't know. But maybe we should dive in because for listeners like who don't know today's topic. Sorry, I just dropped my phone. Like, what the fuck is that? There is a kids show called Bluey that apparently has like taken the world by storm, and it has a huge adult fan base. Yeah. I'm going to go ahead off the bat and make the obvious comparison, even though Bluey fans might be offended by this. Bronies, of course.
Oh. Wow, I really thought I knew where this was going.
We all know the answer. And then you say the number.
Everyone's together now. Bacon.
That was not scripted. Thank you very much.
Well, you know, just because bronies, I know there's a lot of differences between the communities, which we'll get into, but they are adult fans of My Little Pony, and now we're looking at the adult fans of Bluey, and what you just heard was the intro music to Bluey.
The actual Bluey, yes. I think that bronies is a little bit more, like, it's a little bit more sinister in some ways, like, because
very wholesome, but there also is a sexual side, for sure.
Exactly. And I think that that's not the case at all with adult fans of Bluey, but I guess we'll find out.
Well, Rule 34.
Rule 34, yeah.
What's Rule 34?
Oh, wow.
Everything is sexual?
Wow.
We're going to have to let you go. I'm sorry,
Lindsay,
you can no longer be on the show.
It's been really nice.
Oh, no. Yeah. No. Guys, this is what it sounds like when someone gets live fired.
Yeah, this is what it sounds like.
It's awkward.
You gotta go.
It's just that everything is sexual.
If it exists, there is porn of it on the internet.
Oh, okay.
I
didn't know it was called Rule 34. Have y'all done an episode about it where you talk about that it's Rule 34?
Well, someone made up many, many years ago, there's like an official but not official, like rules of the internet.
Oh, okay.
This is very old.
I
don't even know if there's 34 rules. I think it's just like a...
No. Yeah. There's like 100.
Is it? Okay.
But then there's a couple that really broke through and became like standard internet rules. And one of the biggest is Rule 34. If it exists, there's porn of it.
There's porn of it somewhere.
But yeah, so it does seem that Bluey fans are more wholesome. I'm sure there is someone out there making porn. There's got to be.
It's got to exist. But that's not what we're covering. Side note, I just have to share. I tweeted an episode of the show a couple weeks back, I think about one of the lawyer episodes. And some lawyer or professional person was like, oh, wow, this looks really interesting. Like, not someone I knew or followed. It was like a retweet from someone else. And they're like, whoa, the title of that show, do they know what that means? Do they even know what the what two girls means? I was like,
no, we have no idea.
Yes, yes, they do. Thank you.
I don't know who thought of it. Yeah, no, it's
I do know about that. So I can't get fully fired. Okay. Here's the thing about Bluey and about Blue's Clues, which I was not an adult fan. I was like a teen fan. Blue's Clues was, I think we were just like just past the age where we would have watched Blue's Clues as kids, but I was kind of into it as a teenager, and all my friends mm-hmm. used to tease me and like be like, oh, she's in love with Steve. And I'm like,
were you
yeah,
into
Steve's
it ironically?
A straight up hottie.
Yeah. Okay.
He's so- making a comeback.
He's constantly making a comeback. He's had a band. He's been famous as a like storyteller. Steve,
yeah, but he
Steve's
had that video
got
that got like a
that
bajillion
video.
Views. Yeah.
I was obsessed with that, not even as a fan, but as like the entire internet all had this like unified moment of, oh, Steve.
When he was like, your friend Steve
everyone.
Is still here and you're going to be okay.
It was amazing.
Yeah. And I was like, so I always loved
nice
you.
It is nice in today's fragmented world. When
that's
what,
that's
like,
exactly
yeah.
right. That yeah. literally 100% of the internet all agreed that it was the best video of the day.
Yeah.
Like, that was fascinating to me. So I met a woman recently who was helping at my daughter's birthday party. And she's like, yeah, I'm going to 90s Con in Hartford, Connecticut in a couple
con,
weeks.
Wow.
And Steve from Blues Clues will be there along with like Joey Fatone and all every, you know, but like
con,
she specifically
so
name checked Steve. Like, I'm going to get a picture with Steve. I was like, yes.
The fact yeah. that there's a 90s Con is so 90s fascinating.
90s Con, right?
It's very
but
cute.
But hold on. I do think we should give our listeners who have no idea what this is just a tiny bit more context. So mm-hmm. Bluey, I pulled this from one of the official pages about it.
Wait,
no,
can I say what I know about Bluey without looking at the official page?
Sure.
Okay. So Bluey is a dog. He's obviously blue, or maybe it's a she. Actually, don't know the gender of Bluey. Bluey,
she.
Okay, she is Australian, mm-hmm. and she has a sibling and two parents, and the parents seem to have lots and lots of time to play with her.
All right, that's accurate. So the official description, the slice of life adventures of an Australian blue heeler cattle dog puppy as she has fun with her family and friends in everyday situations.
Oh.
It also, this is interesting, Bluey has received consistently high viewership on ABC Kids in Australia, becoming the most watched children's program across all channels on broadcast television in 2018 and 2019.
Wow.
In March 2019, it was reported that Bluey had become the most downloaded program in the history of ABC's video on demand and catch-up TV service, ABC iView, with 21.3 million total episode plays.
So honestly, there's probably a lot of adult fans of Bluey if it's getting that many downloads.
Wait, there's even more. By May 2021, episodes from the series had generated over 480 million plays.
I don't even know if that includes Disney Plus. I think when it really broke through in the States, it was like, oh, this cute show that no one's ever heard of, and it's already on Disney Plus, which like 99%
yeah.
of kids' households
no, and
already
that's true.
Subscribe to.
I think the stats I'm looking at might even just be for Australia. I don't know. But yeah,
right.
it's really exploded, and it's pretty wild.
Have She's you seen an episode or
known.
Seen clips of it?
Oh,
Ellie?
I have because
yeah,
I have.
Watched a little bit just for this, but yeah.
No, I have. I am friends with an adult friend, an adult fan
oh,
of Bluey.
Oh, yes, you were
oh,
saying
you are?
That.
Yes. Okay, yeah. Go on. Back up. Tell us the story.
I talked to her before this as well, so I'll bring up some of the knowledge that I gleaned from her and her adoration of the show. But basically, she has nieces and nephews, and they just happened to be watching one, and one struck her to the core. Like, it really got her in the heart, and
yeah.
then she became a fan, and we were...
Wait, what struck her? Do you know?
Well, it's just apparent, the way she describes it, she's like, you know what? Bluey is actually a show that is made for adults, but it's accessible for kids. She's like,
that's false.
It's
like all great Disney films. You
like,
know what I'm
like
saying?
All great
like,
Disney
we
films.
Know this.
Yeah, I she's
mean,
like,
no, they're
it's
made
for the
for
parents.
Kids, and then they're accessible for adults.
Yeah, maybe. But that's not what this adult fan, I'm just telling you what she told me. Don't shoot the messenger. Okay.
I am.
So then
you
she
are
was
fired.
Like, again for the fourth time this episode. She was talking about how that what happens is things will happen in the show, and then as an adult, you're like, oh my gosh, this is actually really intense, and you will find out one day, sweet child who's watching this, you know?
Yes, exactly.
And that's why the adults love it so much, because it's things that you forget are very important. It harkens to like people that you that were important in your life, like people you meet on vacation, your summer camp friends, those kinds of things. And that's why adults really like it, because it's like, oh, this is actually a foundational thing for you, and you don't even know it yet as a child, you know? So that's what she was saying. And she then forced me to watch a video, like an entire episode of Bluey, while we were standing in line for something, because I think the episodes are only like 15 or 20 minutes long. So it was very funny.
There's something that happens when you're a parent, at least to me or and to my wife too, where you're saying something to your own kid, whatever it is, of like, please do this, or hey, let's have a conversation about this. And you stop in your mental tracks and you're like, oh my God, that's what my parents meant when they said this. Or, oh my God, that teacher told me this. And as a dumb kid, you're like, okay. But as an adult with perspective, looking back on your own life and childhood, you're like, whoa. And it's hard to explain. I don't even have an example for you. But I think Bluey taps into that dual perspective in a very emotional way. I think that's what's going on here.
Yeah, I think so too.
We're about to find out.
Well, Allie, what episode did you watch in preparation?
Honestly, I just saw some clips on YouTube. So, did you watch an episode?
I watched a full episode while standing in line with my friend somewhere. Little adult weirdos. Most adults are weirdos, let's be honest. Okay. But what I wanted to say, because you keep going into this voice, it's like you're in Who Framed Roger Rabbit. Allie is getting tunified in real time. She's getting turned into a tune. Because at the end of all your sentences, you're turning into an actual cartoon. It's so crazy. You start out normal, Allie, and end up here.
Yeah. It happens.
I take issue with that, with your idea that most adults are weird or creepy.
$100 if you can find them on the internet.
I didn't say they were creepy.
Wait,
I said
me?
They were weird. Yeah, girl, that's you.
Weird.
Wait, is that me?
No memory. No memory of that.
The etch a sketch was wiped. Me, but I'm not sure. Cool. All right, but I do think you probably have some Bluey trivia for us or something.
I certainly do.
Yeah.
I wonder if Allie accidentally said the trivia in her very thorough...
I have a very bad memory, and it's mostly horrible, except that, like, I'll, like, read stuff that I forget writing, and I'm like, oh, this stand-up does have legs. You know what I mean? It's like, just forget completely. I can see it with fresh eyes.
That chick is terrifying.
I've been asking you both the same three trivia questions every three episodes, and I'm doing okay.
Great.
Today's episode is about the Australian animated children's show, Bluey, as we said, which is about a family of dogs. And today's trivia is about a real female Australian cattle dog named Bluey.
What?
Who was born in 1910 in Victoria, Australia. For 83 years, Bluey held a world record for something until being surpassed in February 2023, last month, by a Portuguese dog named Bobby.
Oh, my God.
What did the original Bluey hold the record for? The Guinness record, I should specify, for all these years. I have three choices for you. A,
ready?
Longest tongue on a living dog.
Oh, okay.
Living. Okay. Does your tongue get longer after you die? That's a weird
distinction. Weird qualification.
Yeah.
That's what it says here on the thing I wrote. Anyway, B, fastest time to pop 100 balloons by a dog.
Oh, I would like to see that.
I want to see that as well.
What was the time?
I do not have it. You'll find out in the answer.
Interesting.
After the break. Or C, longest living dog.
Oh.
Ooh.
I'm going to go with C, but I want it to
like
be B.
I like C as well. I like C as well. It just seems, honestly, it seems too reasonable, so I'm going to go with B.
Okay.
Great.
Lindsay goes with the balloon popping. Allie, you're going to go with C, longest living.
Yes.
Very good. We will find out what Bluey, a real Australian dog, is known for right after this break.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for listening to 2G1P. And if you're a Patreon subscriber, thank you even more. And right now, we'd like to thank our Patreon subscribers at the $10 or more level for helping us make this show as wholesome and pleasant as it is right now.
Fuck.
Thank you to Wesley Cordell, Jerry Duran, Jessica Fox, Kathy Phillips, Matthew Scott, Melissa Elliott, William, Jessica Kai Bell. M. Kelsey Murray! Thank you all for donating at the $10 or more level. If you would like to hear your name said in a weird and fun way, please consider donating to 2G1P at the $10 or more level. That is patreon.com/2G1P. See you soon!
And now a real advertisement entitled Oscar Mayer Wienermobile, exact replica, $25,000. From the best website to purchase pre-owned wieners, Craigslist.org.
This post is twofold. I am selling my beloved Oscar Mayer Wienermobile replica. To fund my vasectomy reversal. Call it irony. If you just want to donate to the cause of making D's nuts / family jewels whole again, the link is GoFundMe. The Wienermobile has quite a few miles on it. Unlike my own, which is actually in mint condition aside from the cuts made in my leather, miles are 150,000. New tires blow hot air for a cool breeze and can go from 0 to 60 in 6.9 seconds.
Wow, poor guy.
Selling a dick for dick.
You know, a lot of people do it.
All the adult Bluey fans who are mad at us because we're keeping this show dirty.
Hey, guys, thanks for stopping by. Cool. All right, let's hear about the oldest dog.
Oh.
The record-holding dog is named Bluey. This is a famous dog. Ranked by the Guinness World Book of World Records and on lists on Wikipedia, this is a notable canine. What was Bluey, an Australian dog born in 1910? What was she? He? Yes, mm-hmm. A she.
Oh,
what was she known for? A, longest tongue on a living dog. Nobody chose it. B, fastest time to pop 100 balloons by a dog. Lindsay went with that. Or plain old longest living dog. Allie chose C. Are you ready for the answer?
Yep.
Ready.
It's the tongue.
The answer is C, longest living dog. Bluey, born in 1910, lived until 1939.
Wow.
Wait.
Clocking in at 29 years and 160 days.
Oh, wow. That is an old dog.
Right?
That's an old dog.
That dog lived longer than a lot of people.
I mean,
especially
a lot of rock stars.
Wow. Okay.
And I was reading that she even had like health issues, like collapsed lungs and other health, but like, and then lived like two more years after that, like just kept going. I believe her mother had very good genetics, so she, you know, was also long lived. Bobby, which is the new world record holder, was born in 1992 and is still alive today.
Oh, Bobby.
30 years and 297 days. So almost 31 years at this point, still living.
Wow. Bobby, get it. Is Bobby male? What gender is Bobby?
Oh, I can check and look. Go keep
Bobby
talking.
Bobby's a millennial. Bobby.
Yes. Bobby.
Yeah. Wow.
Bobby's not even Gen Z. Bobby's not young enough for me to date. I'm only going to start dating exclusively Gen Z. So I'm excited about that.
What's the thinking there?
I just feel like these millennials, all the good ones are gone.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not fucking around with these lamos who are still, oh, I'm going to stop saying lame because it's ableist and I'm going to stop saying that.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. Never thought of that. Thank you very much.
I'm going to stop fucking around with these millennials who are like not ready to commit. I'm like, bitch, you're old now. You're literally described as a geriatric age group, geriatric millennial.
Like, so you think that Gen Zers will be more likely to commit in their like mid-20s?
I agree with this. Yeah.
I think, yeah, okay. I think they're less likely to be fucking around. Like if they want to fuck around, they're very obvious about it. They're not like confusing. And they are, a lot of them are like, look, we're into living life in like community. We're not out here trying to just be Rolling Stones. Some of them are. And if they are, they're still got a six pack about it, so it's still better.
I mean, I have a lot to say about this topic that we should maybe save for off air or another time, but I don't disagree. Let's leave it at that. All right, we really went off the rails here, and
yeah,
once
we got
again,
really away from Bluey, and that's okay. Let's get back to it by welcoming our guest. And we actually have a surprise guest. So our guest today is Jeff Dibble, who is the moderator of the Facebook group Adult Bluey Fans. And Jeff also happens to be a husband and a father who is doing fathering duties right now. Hello, Jeff.
Hi, how are y'all?
I'm well. So listeners, just in case you hear some excitable child sounds in the background.
It's just a Bluey fan. It's just another Bluey fan.
But it's also Jeff's youngest child.
Just put some Bluey on. Get this kid out of here. What are we doing?
Get it together, Jeff.
She's a great babysitter, Bluey, is what I hear. And she charges very little. Cost of Disney Plus per month.
Pretty much.
So, Jeff, can you kick us off by telling us, what do you think makes Bluey different from other kids' shows?
It's for kids, but there's so much of it that is geared towards adults, parents especially, and just the daily struggles. And I remember when my kids started watching Bluey a little bit, and I was like, oh, that's neat, you know. Mm-hmm. But then I started watching an episode with them. The dad had his two girls at this Chinese place waiting for takeout, and it's taking forever, of course, because that's how it works sometimes. And it's like slowly everything just goes to chaos. One kid needs to go pee. One kid slips in a puddle. The food falls off the table because of a bird. You know, all this stuff just adds up. And I was like, that's like me.
So
I have those moments all the time where it's like everything's all good and calm. And then just slowly it just crescendos into chaos. And at the end of it, the fortune cookie says, you know, that pretty much life is short. Live it. And so he's like, you know what? Play in the puddle. It's all right. We'll be okay.
I love that. I like the idea that, you know, as life descends into chaos, don't try to fight it. Just play in the puddle is a good, it's a yes. good motto.
Guys, that's the same thing they say when you're talking someone through a bad drug trip.
Okay. Just play in the puddle?
Well, it's don't try to talk down, talk through.
Okay.
Right? And it makes sense. Like, you can't make the chaos disappear, but you can lean into it and just be like, this is what's happening.
Chaos is going to happen sometimes. It just
right.
is.
So if you take a lot of Molly and you're like, oh, I wish I wasn't so high right now, just lean in, live through it.
I like that Allie equates parenthood with a unpleasant drug trip.
I mean, that's honestly, she's not far away.
Yeah.
Well, I kind of want to know how this Facebook group came about and kind of what kinds of things you all talk about in the group.
I wasn't there for when it first started. But as soon as I really got into the show, I was like, you know what? I bet there's a fan group out there for this. And lo and behold, this was the very first one that popped up. And it was definitely nowhere near the number it is now. And I latched on and have just really enjoyed it. You know, there's so many different people on there. There's single parents. There's two parents. There's just so many different households going on. And they love just showing off their kids and relating to the show and discussing different things about it and just really come together and trying to support one another. There's drama, of course, because, you know, when people get together, there's going to be drama.
You said that it's when you joined, it was nowhere near the size it is now. So
yeah.
About how many people were in the group when you joined? And now that you're the moderator, about how many people are in it?
Oh, man, I think there might have been, I think it was like 5,000 something, you know, but now it's like 231 plus now.
And how quickly was that growth? When did you join?
I joined about probably 5 months ago, maybe six.
Wow.
Let's see. Here it is on right here. Activity, 231,271 total members, plus 6,000 in the last week.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
That's okay. So fast. Huh. That's wild. 200,000 people in 5 months. That's a lot. And you went from casual participant to moderator. How did that happen?
Pretty much the admin, the person that started it, was like, we're getting a lot of people. I need help. Who would like to join up? And so it was like me and like one other person, I believe, that had been like, hey, we'll help. And so we keep track of the posts and make sure nothing too crazy comes in. Because, I mean, there's one day I had like taken a day where I didn't go through any posts. And I came on the next day and there's like, no joke, 230 posts waiting to be approved or disapproved.
Wow.
And I looked at that number. I'm like, all right, I'm going to need to get some coffee and let's do this.
Amazing.
It's been awesome. I've really enjoyed watching stuff come in and sort of like the show with the struggles, you know, they're going through some of the same stuff that I go through every day. And it's just been great.
Well, I have a friend who is an adult Bluey fan. And she was kind of like you were saying, there was an episode that really hooked into your personal experience with that, the Chinese restaurant episode. She said,
yes.
You know, she was watching it with her nieces and nephews and she was like, yeah, this is a cute show. And then all of a sudden there was this one episode where Bluey goes camping and she meets like a French dog and
Jean-Luc.
Yes. Jean-Luc,
yeah, little Jean-Luc, yeah.
And that was the one that really got her.
That's a big fan favorite right there. I'm not surprised.
What is it about the Jean-Luc episode?
Asa, are you okay?
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Oh, Asa.
Here, actually, come here. I literally just turned on Bluey on my phone.
Yay. That's funny.
So, anyways, yeah, okay, so Jean-Luc. They go out camping, Bluey's bored, and the mom's like, hey, go, you can find something to do. So Bluey goes to this dry riverbed and meets this little kid named Jean-Luc. He's French-Canadian, to be more precise.
Mm-hmm.
And anyways, he doesn't speak any English. And so it's just this episode of him and Bluey getting to know each other just through play and games. They pretend they're going boar hunting and the dad's the boar. So every time he comes to do anything, they like try to attack him. But at the very, very end, Bluey goes back to the riverbed. They had the day before they had planted this seed, you know, plant a tree. And anyway, she comes out and Jean-Luc's not there. And she goes to their campsite and their campsite's gone.
Hmm.
And so she's really sad. She goes to her mom and the mom just sort of explains, you know, the life is full of greetings and partings, but, you know, it's crazy and magical sometimes. Never know. They cut years later. Bluey's a teenager. They go back to this campsite. And so Bluey goes and sits at that tree. Suddenly you hear, hello, Bluey. And it's Jean-Luc back at the riverbed. And they get to meet again.
That is so sweet.
Well, I have a question. There's been a lot of talk about, you know, parents really relating to it, but something I find so interesting is that apparently it's also a ton of people who don't have kids. So do you know anything about that demographic breakdown?
There's definitely quite a few people on there that they'll join the group and they're like, hey, I don't even have kids and I love this show. I'm in. And sometimes they'll relate to, because there's an episode that relates to, honestly, a gal that can't have babies. She's not able to have kids. And so some of them will latch on with that, be like, that's me, you know? And it really is amazing how many people just latch on to the show, parent, not parent, and they just love it because there's so many life lessons, just even beyond just being a parent in the show.
Wow. Well, I would love to talk about maybe some of the other episodes that have gotten a lot of buzz in your group. I know there are a bunch of episodes that are just wildly popular that people talk about all the time.
There's definitely some big fan favorites that are talked about and pointed at just a lot. Another one would be one that's called Baby Race. It is where the mom and dad, they're telling the story of Bluey and how she walked for the first time. And so she's telling her kids this story where Bluey just kind of refused to walk. At first, they were excited because Bluey rolled over really quickly. And as a lot of new parents, whenever your child does something for the first time, it's like, oh my gosh, my child is awesome. They're going to be a superhero. They've done it earlier than any other kids, and I am going to gloat about this. It's going to be great. And so they're excited, but then they go to this like mommy kid group. There's this other mom whose kid is not just rolling over, but has already started to scoot. So she starts feeling self-conscious. She's like, I thought my child was doing good, but this child's the same age, really, and they're doing that? Am I doing something wrong? And so it ties into that, you know, am I doing something wrong as a parent? Am I doing enough? Are my kids physically active enough, you know? Pretty much the whole point of the episode is to run your own race. Mm-hmm. And at the very end of the episode, there's this one mom who sees that the mom, Chili, is struggling. And so she goes over one day. The first thing that Chili even says is, please don't mind the mess of the house, because, you know, we all do that. You know, don't mind the mess, right? And she sits down and she just tells Chili, she's like, you know, it's okay. She looks at her. She's like, I just think you need to know something. You're doing all right. You're doing good. You're doing so much more good than you realize. You are enough. Because every parent, I think, really just needs to hear that sometimes, that you're doing great. You might think that you're being chewed up and spit out, but you're doing better than you think.
Yeah.
You might hate this question, but what are the major differences between the adult fans of Bluey and bronies?
Oh, I haven't seen anybody dress up as the characters per se. So that I know
yet.
That's yet. Exactly. Full disclosure, I actually enjoy the My Little Ponies show along with my daughters as well. You know,
that adds up.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. But my defense, it's because the guy that played Q is on from Star Trek is on there. You know what? That's my defense for that. I can like a girl show.
I don't think you need
you
an
don't
excuse.
Have to have a defense for liking a girl's show. Yeah.
You know what? Some people, I need to have that excuse. They look at me like, are you serious?
Oh, yeah. They're like, are you a brony? And you're like, no, I am not. Who does Q play on My Little Pony?
Oh, Discord, the Master of Chaos. Yeah, John DeLancey.
Oh, plays my that. Gosh, yeah, yeah. That's right.
The very first time you even see him, I mean, he even does the snap and disappear thing.
Shut up. That's hilarious.
That role was literally created for him in mind.
Amazing. Well, I guess what is the difference between how kids interact with My Little Pony and kids and adults and how they interact with Bluey? Because it feels more like people think that Bluey is like a friend of the family.
I would say just in the fact that My Little Pony doesn't really speak to parenthood much. There's blips, but it really is just the fact that the show Bluey is, you know, geared towards parents being seen and being understood and showing that, you know, a lot of us are going through the same struggles and that is something that's kind of missing from that. My Little Pony, it has a lot of great elements to it, but that's an element that is not there.
Are community members making their own like Bluey memes and posting them in the group? What kinds of things are getting posted?
Oh man, there's so many great. I think one of the most popular ones, and the one that was actually just, I think last week, there's a message sent out that's like, please no more. It is a image of Bluey and their family roasting Peppa Pig on a spit.
Oh.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
That's and aggressive.
I mean, yeah, there's some people that had it turn into a t-shirt. I mean, yeah.
You had mentioned earlier that sometimes there's drama in the group. Can you tell us about some of the group's biggest dramas?
Well, honestly, the biggest ones are like when some people see other people discussing the show and they're like, you're making it too adult now. Like they'll start shouting theories. Oh, like Chili's sister is sad not because of babies, because of that she loved Bandit first, or maybe this person cheated on the, yeah, exactly. They're putting like that kind of stuff into the show. Whoa. And I have gotten so many like messages, like private messages. This is ridiculous. And can you step in? I'm like, all right, I'll step in
and shut it down,
and just be like, we just need to keep this civil. I also remind them though, that this is a bluey thing for adults. And sometimes those theories are going to be thought of, and they're going to want to see what other people. So it's that whole, how open can the forum be, you know, without squashing thought and creativity, but at the same time, keeping it in a certain way that it doesn't get too far.
Well, so we talked about memes and things like that. And
yes.
I know that a lot of fandoms, like maybe bronies again, there's a lot of fan art and things like that. People getting tattoos of their favorite characters. Are things like that starting to happen?
Oh, no, not just started happening, has been happening. Just tattoos of like the, instead of like doing like their kids, they'll have their own like sort of bluey styled family design tattooed on them, and they'll put their kids' names on there.
Mm.
There's this episode where the dad pretends to be like a French chef with this like pan and spoon in his hand. He looks all serious, you know, and someone had that tattooed on their leg. One of the favorite things is artists offering to draw your family as a bluey style family on there, and have your family name on there, and just so many artistic things coming out of it. It's really cool.
Yeah. Allie keeps relating it to bronies, but I think it's much more similar to Peppa Pig.
Well, I'm thinking in terms of the adult fandom, like is there a show that...
Yeah, no, I still think it's more like Peppa Pig, like because teens and adults like Peppa because she's kind of sassy and saucy. And it's like kind of accidentally just like in her nature. And I think that the same thing is going on with Bluey, where people are relating to different characters. There's lots of characters in Bluey, and it's not just following Bluey, but like, I know that people are obsessed with like the grandma and grandpa characters, and there's this crazy cousin named Muffin. So,
but is there a large adult fandom for Peppa that like has its own? Cause like this Facebook group is literally, you know, adult fans of Bluey. And I don't know if Peppa has that kind of following.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's quite a bit of hate for Peppa on the Bluey Facebook page. just because, I mean, I was never a fan of Peppa myself. Peppa's rude to her dad sometimes. It just calls him fat all the time. And I would, though, say it's definitely closer to that than My Little Pony. Because, once again, that's sort of like Friends. You know, it's just a group of friends journeying together, trying to figure things out. They have drama that comes up, different scenarios. But in the end, they're still all friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. To put it a different way, like the thing I've observed as a parent is like that there's two different kinds of kids shows. One is like, here's characters going on adventures, and they're superheroes, and they're Ninja Turtles, and they're samurais. And then the other type of kids show is Bluey or Daniel Tiger, which is like, these are normal people in a family doing family things.
Yes.
And those are the two buckets that I observe. And I think kids like them both for different reasons.
And adults like them both for different reasons.
Exactly. Yes.
That's cool. Yeah. I see that. Very nice.
Well, I also want to know there's hate for Peppa, but I've heard that there's also some like a little bit of, I guess, bitterness, because it seems like especially the dad in Bluey has boundless energy and endless amounts of time to play with his kids.
And is a stay-at-home dad. Is that correct?
He is not.
He
works a lot from home. He is an archaeologist. He digs up bones, right? There's a dog joke there, right? He digs up bones for a living, and he does a lot of work at the house, but also away. And now, I won't lie, I kind of figured that question would come up, because that is something that comes up a lot. Because it's true. You know, I look at it, and I'm like, wow, he just boundless energy, like you said, and he's constantly, there's this one episode that's called Rug Island, that he's like, kids, I gotta go to work. They're like, oh, can't you stay, please? He's like, nope, I gotta go. And the kids start playing this game, and suddenly he's there playing the game with them, and people are like, wow, I wish I could just randomly call into work, hey, I want to play with my kids today, see you later. But the thing is the way I see it, when I was in college, I had this professor. It was speech class, you know, writing speeches and public speaking. We had to be dramatic, like super dramatic with everything. And I'm like, how does any public speaker would ever speak like this? And quite sure 1-7 a.m. morning, he saw the looks on our faces and he's like, okay, I know what you think that what we're doing in here is just weird and crazy. But the thing is I'm not expecting you to public speak like this. What I'm trying to do in here is to stretch you. When you do public speak, when you're in front of others, you'll find that middle zone. You'll be more comfortable because of this. And so what I see is, yeah, the dad has all this time and energy, and I could beat myself up over it. Be like, wow, I wish I had that much time with my kids. But I think it's a stretch. I think it's a challenge. You know, we see him play with his kids, all these games, all these activities, and just really just going out for his kids. And I'm like, I might not be able to do all that, but it can inspire me to stretch anyways. Whenever things are chaos and crazy around me, I could take a moment and hug my kid. You know, I'm busy with work, but then when I'm home, I spend time with my kids, you know, and I think of that. And for me, it's just really inspiring. And I love watching the dad. He's my absolute favorite character of the entire show.
And also millions of families and kids and perhaps a generation of viewers being modeled positive masculinity in a dad character on a children's yes. show. That's somewhat rare in media.
I mean, Homer Simpson and all these other sitcom dads, which some of them are good, some of them are okay. You know, there's obviously some that are better than others, but at the same time, it really is good to see a dad just in a positive light, that he's not an idiot. You know, he's not the butt of the jokes,
right?
And but he's not perfect either. He makes mistakes. He has moments where he gets overwhelmed. There's this episode where he's making a birthday cake for his daughter. He's trying to make this duck cake. You can look it up, duck cake episode. It's one of the fan favorites as well. There's so many pictures of people making a duck cake for their child's birthday. Anyways, but he's there. He's like, okay, I'm almost done. He tries to stick the wooden dowry rod through the head to get it attached to the body, and it just slips and plops on the floor. And aww. He's like, he just sort of goes down to the ground, and he just sort of curls up a little bit because he's kind of stressed. He's anxious about this because he wants to make this perfect for his daughter. And Bluey is there, and she sees that he's struggling for a second. So she goes, gets paper towels. She cleans up the mess, and she goes and talks to her dad. And then he notices that she's cleaned up, and he's like, thank you. That's amazing. Thank you. And so, yeah, he's not perfect, and I just see it as an opportunity to dads to see that and stretch. We only stretch as far as the influences in our life allow us to.
Well, I do want to make sure we cover the fandom a little bit more before we got to run. So I wanted to know, in a lot of these fandoms, the show responds to them really well, to the fact that there's actually this surprise adult audience. So has the show itself responded to the adult fans in any way?
Yes. There was... I've seen a couple like interview clips where like, did you realize that this was going to be so big? And the voice actor that plays the dad, and he's like, no, I had no idea that it was going to be this big. And I think it's just amazing. And he has dads that will see him, they'll recognize him and stop and talk to him and just let him know how much they appreciate the show. And I know the guy that plays Chili is the same.
Is there a Bluey con yet? And do you think that there will be?
Allie loves a con.
I do.
There, not to my knowledge, there is not. But at the same time, it wouldn't surprise me that if it wasn't. But I don't know. Once again, I think that goes into like, because obviously there's cons for like that specifically My Little Ponies, you know, that crowd and whatnot. And wow, that crowd, that sounds wrong, but I'm not meaning it a wrong way. I'm just saying.
Those people.
No. I'm just saying. I don't know. I mean, because it's, you know, there's still more seasons to come. There's more time. And as I just saw on Facebook. I mean, our group itself added 6,000 in 1 week.
Yeah.
Just never know where it's
going
to go.
There's going to be a con, and you're going to be going, and you're going to dress up, and I'm going to go as a voyeur, and I'll see you there.
That'd be amazing.
I also wanted to ask you about a meme I saw in the group that says the 7 stages of Bluey, and it was curiosity. Let's see what the fuss is about. Interest. This is actually quite good. Breakdown. Hours of inconsolable sobbing. Regret. Why wasn't my childhood like this? Resolve. I'm going to be the best I can be. Conversion. Seriously, you have to watch it. Peace. My soul is cleansed. Bluey is life.
Yes, I have seen that one. That one's been reposted a couple times.
That's the whole interview right there.
Are those sort of the accepted stages?
I don't know about accepted stages, but I won't lie. That's kind of like how I came into it. It's not incorrect.
I thought breakdown and regret was particularly interesting. Talk about that. I'm serious. Like hours of inconsolable sobbing and why wasn't my childhood like this?
Yeah, because, I mean, not all childhoods are happy and sunshines. And
yeah,
obviously,
not all dads try to make a cake for you.
I know. My dad never tried to make me cake.
Right?
But to be honest, he was not really a cook or baker, so it probably was for the best.
Yeah.
Once someone just really hooks on to something that relates to them and takes them down the path. Yeah, no, there's so many different episodes that really just tug at the heartstrings, and Chili with her elderly dad trying to convince him to take it easy. You know what I mean? That I need you to be around for me. Can you take care of yourself, please? You know, that's an Chili's sister not being able to have kids, you know, and it's just an amazing show that reaches people in so many different ways and so many different areas of life, both past, present, and probably future, you know?
Wow, I love that. Well, thank you so much, Jeff. And I speak for everyone at 2G1P when I say we're going to watch Bluey right now.
you definitely should.
Well, that was just as wholesome and delightful as I knew it would be.
Wow, wow, wow. Maybe I need to start watching.
Not a call, but an email to gmail.com.
We got to do a new one for that.
Lindsay, do you even know what that theme song is from? I don't think we've ever even clued you in.
No, have no idea.
We were talking about being elder millennials at the top of the show. Do you remember Syphil and Ollie?
I think I've seen, I don't remember that, but I think I've seen videos of that thing where they go to the phone. Yeah.
Syphil and Ollie was a sock puppet show on MTV in the mid 90s. And I forget who created it. It's someone who is notable and went on to do a lot of other things, but it's fucking hilarious. And it's the dumbest, stupid puppet show that exists on this kind of content is now for YouTube in its absurdity, but it was on television when we were kids and it's so good. And so they would, it was like, I don't know, they would just take calls from the public, but it was not the real public. It was just other sock puppets calling in, and it's great. Anyway, that's from. I
feel like I remember this now.
I never watched it. I only really know because of this, but yeah.
I'll send you clips. I'll send you YouTube videos.
Jen
knew. It's a national treasure.
Well,
I think Jen was aware of it.
It's pretty great.
Okay. Anyway, this is an email from DS42 who says, if you all are going to cover adult breastfeeding topics again, it would be amazing if the communities online were discussed in depth. And they send a wiki article about, I guess this is a lactation wiki, with a list of ANR, ABF communities. They say the Lactation Wiki homepage has current events section where there is a list of meetings. So for example, the Houston, Texas area, they have a community website. I think DS42 is alluding to the idea that like these communities are spread out on the internet as we know. So they're connecting on the internet, but it leads to something that I think, Allie, you especially always ask of like, hey, do y'all ever get together in person? And I guess there is a component here. There are some links here that DS42 is sending to say, yes, people are getting together in their local area to meet up and do some adult breastfeeding, I suppose.
Wow.
Or at least talk about it.
I need to know more about where they're meeting, when they're meeting, how they're meeting, who they're meeting. I need details.
Yeah. And so I don't know. Is this perhaps this is something we could explore in a future episode, or maybe this is just fun to talk about. We'll see.
Interesting.
I'll forward this to you.
It's wild to me because I feel like, and I said this in the episode, breastfeeding is already so arduous and challenging when you have to do it to keep another person alive, that if someone was doing it for me just to like show me that they cared, I would feel, I mean, I would understand how that would make you feel super, super loved. But as the person doing like with the breasts, I'd be like, sir, I absolutely will get you a glass of milk because
yeah, but that's the whole thing. It's a, you know, they like it. It's a consensual. Yeah, you know, the woman has to take all the You remember
it. It's intense. I'm just saying that kind of love. I get why it's only a mother to a child most of the time. And if someone were willing to show me that kind of love,
taxing on the body. Yeah,
yeah. Right. I would be like, could you build me a house instead? It's like that much labor, in my opinion.
You're saying you don't want to suckle for my titties?
Absolutely not, but thank you.
We've ruined this episode. Anyway, thank you so much for tuning in. If you would like to suckle our tit, no. If your name is Steve and you want to marry Lindsay and you're 22 years old.
No. You have to be old enough to rent a car in every country. So 25 and up. 25 okay. and up.
All right. We got the criteria laid out. Got it.
Okay. I don't know if that's not Gen Z. Is it Gen Z?
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
All right. Well, she's at The Lindsay Life across all platforms. I'm at Ali, A-L-L-I underscore Goldie. You can also visit our Patreon, patreon.com/2G1P. We're on Discord, discord.gg/2G1P. We're on Facebook, Two Girls, One Podcast. And leave us a review wherever you can leave reviews on your, you know, favorite podcast service. You can call us. That number is
347-871-6548. That number again,
347-871-6LIT.
And you can email us like someone just did at 2G1podcast@gmail.com and tell us all your lactation fantasies. And thank you so much. We'll see you next time.
Two Girls, One Podcast is hosted by Allison Goldberg and Lindsay Ford. Then played for children at a local daycare. I mean, produced by Matt Silverman in New York City. This episode was edited by Avital Ayler. Production assistance is provided by The Podglomerate. This show is a production of The Daily Dot, the number one source for in-depth reporting about life on the internet.
1. The Podglomerate, a Sonic Universe.
If you just want to donate to the cause of making D's Nuts/Family Jewels whole again, the link is GoFundMe.